Good Sunday morning and welcome to our show. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. I'm your host, Monica Pierre. Have you ever wondered how birth order affects your path throughout life? Does it really matter if you're the first child, the middle child, the youngest child, the only child? We'll find out. With us today is Dr. Robert Hurst, author of Life's Fingerprint, How Birth Order Affects Your Path Throughout Life. Good morning and welcome to the show, Dr. Hurst.
Well, good morning to you, Monica.
We should also mention that he is an orthodontist in private practice in Covington across the lake. He's been observing and studying birth order and behavior patterns of his patients. My first question is, why are you studying birth orders as an orthodontist?
Well, I learned early in my career that my success was dependent upon the cooperation of teenagers. Now, have you ever had a teenager do something you wanted them to do, like clean their room or study?
And I was one. I reluctantly did what I was told, but yeah.
Let alone brush their teeth. And I learned right away that I had to find a way to communicate with the different teenagers. And I found in families, even though I was treating patients in the same family, that all the children were different and they wanted to be different. So I had to find a way to reach them quickly and know how to get them motivated.
So you start observing, and then did you know the order already, but then you would ask them, are you the middle kid or the youngest kid or only child?
Well, sometimes you would know that if you treated others in the family, but otherwise you'd have to ask questions. And there are more things that go into finding your birth order than just 1, 2, 3, 4. There are a number of characteristics that you have to look at to find out what their true birth order is. And that's what we show in the book, Life's Fingerprint, How to Find Your True Birth Order.
Well, wonderful. Well, I guess do we start with traditional birth orders? Because I mentioned only child, oldest child, middle child, that type of thing. Are there separate, different ones other than the traditional ones that we think of?
Well, what I found in my orthodontic practice is that the traditional birth orders only worked about a third of the time. And I was about to throw out the whole concept and the use of birth order until I did an analysis of the patients. And I found out that two-thirds of my patients were separated from their other siblings or groups of siblings by 4 or more years. These are the parents that could afford orthodontic treatment for their children. And then I found that when you added the only birth order to the traditional birth order, you got a very different person. Because these children were kept at home and they got the nurturing like an only child, and you added that to their birth order number and you got something different. For instance, a number two child, those of you who have number two children, know they don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
Well, if you add the only characteristic with them, you have an immovable object.
Hmm.
They won't do anything.
Wow.
So they're much, much stronger. You might say the birth orders are 2 to the times 10 in power.
Wow. Yeah, because the second kids that I know, they're, I call them bossy. They like to boss others around. So basically, you asked me before we did the interview, what was my birth order? I'm the oldest child. And, of course, I want to tell you all these other things. I grew up in the country, and we were sharecroppers and blah, blah, blah. The next sister, number two, we're actually born in the same year. We are literally 10 months and 17 days apart. We did everything kind of sort of like twins, because we were always in the same grade and finished everything at the same time. Then my next sister is 3 years younger. Then there's a slight gap with my brother, the only boy. He's 7 years younger than I am. And then my youngest sister, she's 9 years. So they're 2 years apart at the end.
Sure. You have two groups in your family, the first three and then the next two are a different group. But before we get into that, let me just say a little bit about some of the characteristics of the traditional birth orders.
Okay.
When you started life, you were an only child.
Yes.
But you were an only child only for a year. You didn't even know it. But the only child, that's the precocious child. You might see them on TV late night shows because they talk like little adults. Okay. And if you remember the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, that showed you the two types of only children. Charlie, who was very responsible, and the others that were very spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true about birth orders. You have choices here. There are two sides to every birth order. Now, with the firstborn, that's really you after your sister came online, you're the high achiever. You were the better one, or you should have been the better one in school, usually. Mm-hmm. You're the future CEO. Being a valedictorian is easy for you. And if you were a boy and in scouts, an Eagle Scout. You'd be the Eagle Scout. You are the high achievers. You're so hard on yourselves.
That is true.
You really put a lot of stress on you because you're trying to live up to your parents' expectations. Now, when the second born comes along, they don't want to be told what to do by the firstborn. And now you get into what we call sibling rivalry. And people go through life sometimes with a chip on their shoulder, and they can't seem to get motivated and do things. And it all goes back to their childhood experiences with their siblings, because it's the interaction with your siblings that make you who you are. And number two wants to dethrone number one.
I've always felt that.
Yes. And in your case, you were so close together, you were almost like twins. But in the case of twins, whoever's told who's older, they take the higher number in birth order. It might be incorrect, but they work it that way. Mm-hmm. They know, you're 1 minute older, so I must be the younger one.
Mm.
Now, the second born, if he's not the student because you have an edge, he becomes the athlete. They all want to be different. Do you remember the TV sitcom Everyone Loves Raymond?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there you see it. Two boys. You had Robert, who was the older one.
Yes.
And then you had the younger brother, Raymond. And you remember the line they would always say after Robert just was dethroned, and he just couldn't get it together after that. And he'd always say, yes, but everybody loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go again. Now, when we get to the third born, this one doesn't get involved in that sibling rivalry. They're the more creative arts people. They work with their hands. They can be carpenters. They can do cabinetry. They can be painters. They can be musicians. They see life totally different, and they're open to everything. And they're very sensitive. I call them laughing on the outside, mm-hmm. crying on the inside,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because they know if they let number two know that they hurt them when they hit them in the arm or something, number two is going to hit them again. So they say, you didn't hurt me at all. And they're saying, please, please don't hit me again.
Interesting.
And then when you get to the fourth born, that's the true baby in the family. That's the one that everybody takes care of. And they're the comedian. They can't be loud because the other kids won't let them talk. but they're a lot of fun. And if life isn't fun, they don't want to do it. You know, sports are their thing. I mean, Michael Jordan is a number four. You couldn't have a better basketball player than Michael Jordan.
Right, right.
Okay. But sometimes they're not so responsible because others have taken care of them.
Absolutely.
But then when you get to number five, it starts all over again. Now, this is families that are close in age. So number five is like a number one, but it's more subtle. It's like the primary and secondary colors that we were taught in school. Five is like a one, six is like a two. For those of our audience that might come from large families.
Yes, yes.
I've talked to many Catholic groups, and when I stop at four, the priest usually tells me, he says, do you know who you're talking to? And
right.
I said, well, I'm talking to XYZ school. They say, no, we're Catholics. We just start at four.
Right. I'm from a rural area with five kids. We were considered a small-sized family. The average family was nine and
sure.
ten. Some even had 15 and 16 kids.
That's right. And you get this birth order, and they can use the same strategies
right.
to get the parents' attention. You know, it happens in nature all the time. Just think of birds in the nest. The first bird that hatches, he's going to get bigger, or she,
mm-hmm.
and get the food from the mother. And when the next one comes, well, that one's smaller. So the first bird picks at the little bird, hence the word pecking order.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, yes.
And the parent usually ignores it because it's survival of the fittest. And the same thing happens to us in families, too.
Mm-mm-mm. We're joined. Very fascinating. Everybody, when I told everybody I was going to do this show, they were like, I want to hear it because I have so many ideas and questions. Dr. Robert V. Hurst, actually Dr. Robert V. Hurst, very interesting. His book is Life Fingerprints, Birth Order, How Birth Order Affects Your Pathway Throughout Life. Very, very fascinating. And I have a lot of questions, but I really want to, you know, get back on track. So is it determining how we are in life, or there are so many different factors that just because you're the oldest child, number one, that you may be a little bit different than what research or what your observations have shown? Do I have any say in the matter?
Oh, yes. Well, birth order is not an all or nothing. You have certain characteristics, and it's important first. If we're going to do something in life and get motivated, we have to first find out who we are. Most people go through life unconscious. They have relationships with people, good or bad. They like people. They don't like people. But when we started life, life was easy. Life was fun. Everything was taken care of for us. And then we got into the sandbox and we had to interact with other people. And so a number one child might be the one that wants to give orders. But number one could also be a nurturer. And that's another way they can control the younger siblings. So you have choices. I'll give you a story. It was a young man. Actually, it was here in New Orleans. His father was a traveling musician. And he was born number one. And then his sister was born, and she had a congenital heart defect. And the resources in the family were put toward her medical care. He had a choice. He could be a very supportive older brother because father was away, or he could resent his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out that he did resent his sister, made that decision, and they don't talk today, and it's been over 40 years. So you have decisions that you can make. It's not all or nothing. There are answers in this birth order for you.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Dr. Hirst, what makes your book different than other books on the subject? I know you've been observing your patients and you've been doing research and also studying this, but what would be the key differences?
Well, there are about three things. First of all, it's based on my observations of my patients over 35, 40 years. And with an orthodontist, we're unique because we see these children on a continual basis for the first couple years every month. We get to know them. And then we follow them up with their retainers for the rest of their life so we can see what's happened to them as they grow older. And the population I saw were normal people. Many books were written by psychiatrists that are dealing with a population that's coming to them for help. Now, the second thing that makes the book different is we talk about these double birth orders.
Yes.
The double birth order is the Rosetta Stone of understanding the whole birth order theory, and we go into that in detail. And the third is that we cover all possibilities in the book in each family. If you had three boys or three girls or two girls and one boy and how they interacted.
You mentioned the double birth order. For those listening, what is that? And are there variations on the double birth order?
Oh, yes. The double birth order is, again, what I said, at least a four school year gap between children on either side of that child. And then they add the only child to that characteristic. I'll give you an example. David Letterman, Jay Leno, Springer are all two only birth orders. They control that desk. Okay,
yes.
They don't let anybody get in there. And so
yes.
They've taken the two and they've added power to it. And there's a reason why David doesn't get along with Oprah, because Oprah is a one only birth order. She is higher power than David. So they'll never get along together. You know, they've had this feud going on for some time.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, in your family, you have a gap between number three and
number four.
So number four becomes the oldest person in the second family, but the fourth born. That's a 4-1 birth order. And there's two people that represent that 4-1 birth order. Donald Trump and Walt Disney.
Oh, my.
Now, look at the similarities in their lives. Donald Trump is into casinos and beauty pageants and golf clubs. And Walt Disney was into theme parks. But they all wanted to play, but they had the executive power of a number one to pull it off.
Mm. And my brother, who just recently visited, I mean, he's an avid golfer. He's the only one really with a hobby in the family. You know, we're all workers, you know, for the most part, and he's a very good worker, but he plays as hard as he works, which is, you know, kind of different for the rest of the girls.
Number four likes to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. You know, there's some other similarities, too. I'll mention three people that everyone knows. Bill Gates at Microsoft, Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
and Mark Zuckerberg. We've just heard about him with Facebook.
Absolutely.
They all are second-borns with older sisters. So there are patterns that we see in birth order. You can go in any direction you want, but because of your interaction with certain siblings, and you know, gender is an important ingredient in who you are And sometimes it's the competition that makes you a little better.
We're talking about life's fingerprint, your birth order. Dr. Robert Hirst joins us. He's an orthodontist. He's also been in private practice for 30-plus years in Covington. And we're talking about some very interesting things. And you talked about life's fingerprint, and we can use this to really understand and get information for our daily lives, to understand who we are, how we interact, how we move in the world. So let's talk about growing up. And my husband, who is the first child, but, there's always a but, he was the second child because the older boy died, basically like a day after he was born. He was named Paul Francis, and then he died, and then Paul was born, and his name is Paul Robin. So basically, in my mind, two oldest married, but is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right. We're going to get into marriage in a second. But let me answer that. That's another characteristic that we look at to find your true birth order. Is it, was there a death in the family or handicapped children, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have a death in the family, as we call this a phantom child, if the parents keep that child alive, if they celebrate the birthday every year, if they do that, then the next child that's born can never live up to that child who was absolutely perfect, of course.
Mm.
Vincent van Gogh had an older brother. He died, similar to the situation you just said. His name was Vincent van Gogh. So no wonder Vincent van Gogh had a problem in life.
Yeah.
He could never
starry
live up
night.
To that.
Yeah.
But when you talk about marriage, with marriage, I've found there are two types of love at first sight. Your audience is going to enjoy this. One is when you find someone with the same birth order, like yourself and your
right.
husband.
Yes.
The problem there is only one person can be in the mirror at a time. Somebody has to step out of the way because the image can only be one.
Mm-hmm.
But you get along great because you're looking at yourself.
Oh.
The other love at first sight is when you meet someone that matches the gender and the number of the person in your own family. I'll give you an example. Barbara Bush and Senior Bush. Barbara was the third child, and she had an older brother, number two. George had a younger sister, number three, and he was number two. They met at a naval dance or something, and they knew immediately, at least one of them knew, it was love at first sight, and that was it. So in all the talks I've given, I've never seen a divorce situation where someone matched the gender and position in each other's family, and it wasn't a success forever.
Mm, mm-hmm. Wow, I like that a lot.
It works.
It does. Okay. Blended families. And I think early in the book you talk about Freud and Mr. Adler, right?
Right.
And they tried to make it work, but it didn't. And you said had they understood or thought about the birth order, they would have had some clues about why they just had to part ways.
Sure. I mean, the big difference was that Freud felt, and his Freudian thoughts are, that the children are who they are because of the interaction with the parents. And Adler, who is the father of birth order theory, felt, no, it was the interaction between the children that made the children who they were, because they quickly outnumber the parents. It's only the only child that is a reflection of the parents. But in blended families, when you get two groups of children coming together, this is fascinating because it works all the time. They all change birth orders if somebody is older than them. In other words, they may have been a 1-2-3. It was a Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
The 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Now you mix them together, and now they have to redistribute their birth orders by their ages. If you move up in birth order, you adjust to the family perfectly. If you get demoted, you're a problem.
Wow.
No one wants to be demoted.
Mm-mm.
And it's just night and day it happens. And I see this all the time. We see this a lot in our practice. We know exactly what we're dealing with. If you got demoted, you're angry.
So Freud was basically the older child in the second marriage,
That's
if I
right.
remember correctly.
He was the first child of about nine children in his father's second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
He had two older brothers that were at least 10 or 12 years older. But we're not really talking about Freud today, but the interesting thing is those two brothers lived in the same house that Freud did with Freud's father and new mother.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So no wonder Freud had these issues.
Right. Very, very interesting. Well, we're going to talk about where we can get the book a little bit later on. So how do we interact with each other in the workplace? I have yet to ask. I have recently my coworker's birth order. I just didn't even think about it. Are you the older child, the youngest child, the only child?
Well, once you know someone's birth order, you can read them like a book.
Ah.
Okay. And then you know exactly what you're dealing with. Here's how it works in the birthplace and the workplace. In the birth order situation in a family, everybody has a unique birth order. Everybody has a different job to do. But in the workplace, you can have people with the same birth order.
Yes.
Now, when you're in the same birth order, you're either working together or you're trying to move in a different direction. One wants to, you know, usurp the other's power. So if you're going to build a team, you want people with different birth orders because you want diversity. You want an only, a one, a two, a three, and a four, because they're going to come together like a family. But if you get all number ones together, everybody is telling everybody else what to do, and you're not going to go anywhere. I hate to say this, but most of our politicians are firstborns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No reason. There's a reason why they can't get anything done.
Right.
All think they're right.
Yes. Absolutely, I'm right. Well, yeah, it's amazing how you got to really give some thought to that. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, our current president is a one only double birth order. His sister was about 5 or 6 years younger, his half sister.
Mm-hmm.
George W. Bush was also a one only because his younger sister died and there's a 7-year gap between he and Jeb, so he was a one only. Bill Clinton was like an only one because Roger was about 12 years younger.
Right.
So now Mitt Romney is interesting, and our audience might be interested in this. He's a four only birth order. There's 7 years between him and his younger brother, the number three. No other children. So he is like 70% an only and 30% a four. And that's why he comes across like the adult in the room. But sometimes he changes his mind, and that's the number four part.
Mm.
So it's going to be an interesting battle coming up.
Absolutely. Very, very. What's the number one question you receive, Dr. Hurst, when you start doing your speaking engagements or talking to people about this? What is it that they really are either fascinated by or want to ask you about?
The question I get the most is, now I think I understand my brothers and sisters. Because all their life, they're under the influence of this relationship that they had growing up. And they're working it out in the workplace and marriage and whatever. And now they know who they are. And now they know where their trigger points are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're number two, I had a gentleman the other day who happened to be the parent of one of the children. He said, you know, I was reading your book in the waiting room, and now I know why I can't keep a job. He says, I'm a number two, and I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. And I had big fights with my older brother all my life. He said, if I had known this earlier, my life would have been so much easier.
Wow.
So he got it.
Yes.
Everybody gets it.
Right. Everybody gets it or accepts it. As you know. So the workplace we talked about. What about, you mentioned family planning. And how do we deal with spacing our kids or even accepting the birth order? Because, you know, I sometimes feel like my mom wants to freeze us in time, you know, take care of your younger sister, you know, do this, you know, like we're all kind of like still kids sometimes. So how do you do that?
Well, I'll answer it this way. First of all, everybody has a family album.
Yes.
Look in that album. Number one's got all the pictures. Number two, less. Number three, and number four is lucky to have a picture at all. And when you get back to a family gathering, you are right back where you were when you left. I don't care if you're president of the United States. You are who you are. And you're just a kid in the family again. You know, if you're number four, you're going to be sitting at the little kids' table at Thanksgiving, okay? You know, you might be 6'5", but you're sitting at that little kids' table because that's who you are.
Right.
So that interaction that you had there, of course, carries through to your adult life. And your friends, you'll find, will be your same birth order.
Huh.
Think about that for
a
minute.
Think. Because she was toward the end. Yes. She was probably number five in the family.
Then she's a number one again.
But then she was a number one again because of, because mathematically, there has to be a gap between that older child and number five or number seven or whatever.
I'm not sure if I answered your question.
You did, though. But let's go back to the family planning. So,
family planning.
Or the spacing of the children.
Yes. You know, today we can control that. And now, do you want a family that's cohesive as a family? Then space them 2 or 3 years apart. You have a one, a two, a three. And they'll interact with each other like kids. If you want individual families and you want very, very powerful children, separate them by 4 or more years. I'll just mention that some people, when they separate and they say, well, you know, I wanted to be a mother and give everything I could to each child, and I separate them 4 years. Well, you know, the kids don't train each other. They don't teach each other anything. Mother teaches everything. And so these kids don't become a family. They become independent little families, and they don't interact later in life either.
Right. I've seen that too as well. Sure. You know, I had a flashback when you talk about photographs. We didn't have many photographs because we were growing up, sharecroppers. But the ones that we did take as a result of a family fair or school pictures, early on, I was the one who was always smiling the brightest. It was almost like, look at me, look at me. And years later, just recently, my mom said, you always wanted to be a star. And I'm going, really? I guess I always wanted some kind of way. I got that idea that I should be an actor or later on a broadcaster. You know, that attention that I just really wanted to shine as bright as I could.
Well, you wanted to be different than the other children.
Yes.
And you had a head start, and you were going to be. And look where you are today. It worked.
I'm talking to Dr.
Hurst.
It is my birth order. Speaking of birth orders, Life's Fingerprint, where can people find the book?
Well, they can find it locally at the Maple Street Bookstore. They have it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to get an autographed copy, and I'll do a complimentary family analysis, they can go to my website, which is www.lifesfingerprint.com. But it's also available in all the electronic forms, too, at Apple iTunes, Barnes & Noble, the Nook Book, and, of course, Amazon.
And you are on Facebook. I mean, I was like, oh, go ahead, Dr. Hurst. Yes, indeed. I'll be your friend.
Well, thank you.
It has been delightful to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to meeting you in person. We have been communicating Facebook, email, and phone. So now I get a chance to sit across from you. What about your birth order? You haven't talked about you.
Well, you don't want to talk about yourself. No. I want to talk about others. But I happen to be a number two birth order, and I have an older sister.
Okay. An older sister.
But just about a year and a half older.
Okay, that's not much. Okay.
So I'm truly a two.
You're truly a two, a real two. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The book is called Life's Fingerprint, Your Birth Order, How Birth Order Affects Your Path Throughout Life by Dr. Robert Hurst. So this is it is a beautiful book. I told him, I said, you put a lot of effort into this book. It's a beautiful book. He said, it's a table book.
Yes, for a coffee table.
So
all the people that come in can read about themselves and the family can get closer together.
I love it. Well, thank you all for tuning in this Sunday morning. Enjoy today and the rest of your week. Until next time, I'm Monica Pierre.